Hey, everybody. It's September 16th, 2019, regardless of the date. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us today. We got a lot of guests. We're talking about the upcoming NCSS, the National Social Studies Conference, coming up in November in Austin. We want a lot of people to be there, so we wanted to push the conference, make sure you all go. This is a multi-organizational conference we're talking about. We've got the Texas Council for the Social Studies. The conference is going to be in Austin, so it makes sense that the Texas Council for the Social Studies will be there. And we have Kip Harmon, who's the president of that group, on the show with us. We got a whole bunch of guests, all right? Then also the National Council for Geographic Education. I love this, okay? From Marietta, Georgia, we have Ken Keller, okay, who's the president of that organization, okay, along with its executive director, who I'm meeting for the first time, Charlie Regan. I'll bring you on in just a second, National Council for Geographic Education. And then we have from NCSS, my old buddy, Dr. Larry Pasca, who's the executive director, and their new president, who in a coup d'etat has taken over from my friend India Mizell, Tina Hafner. And Tina, welcome, and we'll get everybody on in just a few seconds. We're going to talk about, again, the upcoming NCSS Plus convention in November in Austin. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at EduTalkRadio like we always do. Facebook is EduTalkRadio and LinkedIn is EduTalkLarry. Please, teachers, check out ace-ed.org. Write it down, ace-ed.org. That's our magazine on accessibility, compliance, and equity in education, three of the top subjects that are out there. Our magazine is excellent. It's digital. It lives at ace-ed.org, accessibility, compliance, and equity, and I want you to check it out. We're very proud of what we're doing in that regard. Okay, now I'm going to bring about 12 million people on here, and I'm going to start off with my buddy Larry Pasca, who I assume is here. Larry, are you there?
I am here, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, other Larry. What's going on? Everything good?
Everything is great. We're going to have a great year of social studies. We're excited to talk about our conference today, and it's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, as always, my good friend. And Tina, are you there?
I am, yes. Thank you. It's a wonderful
Tina,
opportunity
was it a bloodless
to speak with you
coup?
Today?
It's a pleasure to have you. Was it a bloodless coup when you eliminated India Mizell, or is she okay? Is she in prison somewhere? What's happening? You're the new president.
Well, no, it's not quite like that. Actually, she's still
not?
A part of our leadership team. She served an extra year as president, so she's been a great resource in helping plan this year's conference and helping me think through what I needed to do as leader of the organization.
Congratulations, Tina. It's nice to have you here. Are you currently a social studies teacher?
I'm actually a professor of social studies education. I work at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
Wow, I never heard of them. Do they have a football or basketball team?
Yes, we have both, and we are
I didn't know
NCAA
that.
Division One.
Cool. Really? Mm-hmm. University of North Carolina? Yeah. Nope, don't know much about it. No, I'm only kidding you, of course. I didn't know you were a professor there. Well, that's cool to have you here, teaching new social studies teacher. I think that's great. Okay, Tina Hafner, everybody. Are they pronouncing your name right, Tina?
No, actually, it's Hefner.
Hefner, thank you. Okay, thank you. Is the A in there, H-E-A, F-N-E-R?
There is an A, but that A is silent, yes.
The A is, that's what threw me off, Tina Hefner. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, thanks, Tina. All right, I'll get back to you in a few minutes. Let me introduce Charlie. Charlie, are you there?
I am, Larry. It's great to meet you.
Charlie, pleasure to meet you, too. This is the first time we have ever chatted. National Council for Geographic Education. We'll have to get you guys on a show all by yourselves. Would that be nice for you?
That would be fantastic. I would really like that. No.
Okay, that's good. I'd love to do that. Charlie, where are you? Are you in Washington, D.C.?
I'm actually just outside of Washington, D.C. We're headquartered in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, sure. Okay, great. National Council for Geographic Education, it's a conference with the NCSS. Ken, are you there? Ken
will be on in a few minutes. He's breaking away from, he's a teacher, yes.
Well, I hope he does get on, and I'll keep an eye on the board. Kip Harmon, are you there from the great state of Texas?
I am, Larry.
Hi, Kip. How you doing?
I'm well.
That's good. And where is Leander? Where I know that's where you teach, Leander ISD. Where is that?
I am just northwest of Austin.
North? Oh, so it's going to be like a little commute for you down to the conference, huh?
It sure will be, just a short commute.
That's great. And what's the Texas Council for the Social Studies? How many members do you guys have down there? Big group.
We have about 1,300.
That's great, man. That's wonderful. Since I've got everybody's social studies on the phone, and I hope a lot of social studies teachers listening, okay, I just want to tell everybody, tomorrow, I'm going to say this again because I did the show earlier, then we'll get into this. Tomorrow is Constitution Day. That's September 17th. That's when, in 1787, that's when it all came together, okay? It's also Citizenship Day, and I just want everybody to know there is a virtual viewing party put on by iCivics, one of my favorite organizations, with the help from Discovery Education, okay, about Constitution Day tomorrow. They're inviting you and your students. It's all about the voice in American government, all right? And it's free, and it's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, and just Google Constitution Day virtual viewing party, and it'll pop right up on your Google, and you can let your kids and participate. It's going to be really good. I just wanted to... Because I'm so interested in civics these days, right, Larry Pascal? You know that. Okay, I want to make sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so social studies teachers. Did you hear that, Kip?
I do.
Good, did you write it down? Constitution Day virtual viewing party. The kids will love it. Okay, it's great stuff. What grade do you teach, Kip?
Well, actually, I'm a coordinator for a district in social studies in the district that I work in.
And how big a district is it?
We have about 40,000 students.
Wow. Wow. That's huge.
It is huge.
Ah, that's great. You're social. I got all the powers that be here. Professor Hefner, okay, Kip Harmon, I got, you're waiting for Ken. Are you there yet? Ken Keller? Not yet. Okay, Charlie, you're going to carry that ball. But first of all, Larry Pasca, okay, you got a new NCSS president. That's Tina, okay. When you get a new president in and you have a conference to put on, okay, how's that all come together, Larry? How do you work?
Well, how we work is, so actually our incoming president starts his or her work as conference chair the year before. So it's a pretty much a two-year process of development. I can have Tina explain a little bit more about the work that she's done specifically for this conference, but it's a multi-year process. We also set up a local arrangements committee. We have dozens of volunteers, both from Texas and around the country, working with us, our own board, as well as our team. You know, we have a team of meeting directors, specialists here on staff, as well as all of our staff really pitching in to support this effort. So it's a multi-person effort, and this year, because the conference is between three organizations, it's presented some unique opportunities for us in terms of thinking about programming
cool.
we're doing and reaching out to other volunteers to grow. But, yeah, the putting on an event of this magnitude is a multi-year process.
It is just great. And I just want everybody to know that Ken has just come on. Ken Keller, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for coming on. You're a busy teacher. Where do you teach, Ken Keller, who's the president
I teach
of the
– I teach at George Walton Comprehensive High School in Marietta, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta.
Cool, cool. You guys beat my Eagles yesterday, my hometown. Thanks a lot.
Well,
the Falcons did.
Not my team, but the Falcons did.
Oh, okay. Then you're forgiven. Then you're forgiven. Okay, we'll move on from there. Okay, my hometown Eagles lost last night, but we won't get into that detail. I will let you stay on the show now, Ken. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, good. No, no problem at all. I'll get to you guys in a second. Tina Hefner, Professor Hefner. Okay, this is it. Your big shot's coming up. November, you put together a conference. Talk about it. What you're doing? What's your leadership vision for the upcoming year in social studies, Professor?
Well, the theme of the conference is we're actually calling it A4, which is 4 A's: informed action. Which is defined as agency, advocacy, and activism. And the reason why I chose this specific theme is because for the National Council of Social Studies, we published a curriculum framework, which is the College, Career, and Civic Life, or the C3 framework, in which we put forth inquiry as the model for effective teaching and learning in social studies. And inquiry is a composite that is both the questions that we ask, the knowledge that we have, the disciplinary practices that we engage together with in our learning to exercise that learning in informed ways. So informed action is the cornerstone of the work that we do in the social studies. And how informed action comes to fruition, it depends greatly on how students are learning in schools and the exposure that they have, the opportunities that they have to learn. And so building students' agency as learners, agencies as citizens, and agency as their ability to speak on their behalf, to be advocates for themselves, to be advocates within their communities, to examine the role of advocates in their communities, and then to take informed action. And activism is the way in which informed action manifests. And how do we become activists in our communities or activists in our own school communities, per se? But the idea of the conference itself is centered around this theme of informed action, and the conference pulls together various experts at different grade levels or grade bands of learning, including elementary educators, preschool educators, middle school teachers, high school teachers, and college professors, people like Kip, who are district leaders, and we also have state-level leadership of curriculum state social studies specialists, and we have publishers who seek to develop the materials that will elevate the quality of learning in the classroom. So the idea is that, you know, how do we engage with each other? How do we come together to talk about the various topics and issues that we grapple with in the social studies? How do we come to understand collectively what it means to be a good citizen? What is civic engagement? And the conference itself is the platform by which individuals who have a vested interest in social studies education across the country and internationally come together to converge, to exchange ideas, to expand and develop our understanding around the questions that we all seek to grapple with within our field, but it also allows us to learn from each other. And the professional networks that we build from that are those that don't end with a single conference, but they're the things that advance the profession and our own work with students in K-12 classrooms across the span of the year. We come back each year to get rejuvenated with new ideas. And the conference does bring forth new platforms for understanding what are the cutting edge or emerging ideas in the field. How do we begin to talk about immigration? How do we do that in an era in which truth and facts and evidence are things in question? And how do we look at the world from a critical lens? And those are things, I mean, that's the platform and the nature of what the conference offers to educators. This particular conference is truly unique, and I'm excited about what we're offering, which is a more expansive program, and that's because of the co-location and the partnership that we have with Charlie at NCGE, and he's been an instrumental partner in planning this conference, and Kip Harmon has also been a critical thinker in terms of helping us make sure that we have specialized programming for Texas educators, because the place and the location of the conference is in Austin is also instrumental and important, and we cannot ignore what we need to do to support Texas teachers and local states, because there'll be a large contingency and a commitment from the local districts to bring teachers for this professional learning opportunity.
Professor Hefner, can I take your course? You are really articulate. That was wonderful. Thank you. That was just great.
Well, I would certainly be glad to invite you into one of my courses.
If I were down there, I would take you up on it. I live in Maine. Okay, that was just a great overview. Okay, of what you're doing and how involved you are and how thoughtful you are about everything. That's just great. It's going to be a great conference. You called it A4. I'm going to say it's A5. It's action, is agency, advocacy, and activism in Austin. It's A5.
Yes.
There's five A's in there. Can't forget Austin there, okay, which is a great city, by the way, and a draw.
Yeah.
We hope people get down there. It's terrific. One thing I want to ask you something, which is always on my mind. This is key, and I want to say this, too. I was a social studies teacher, okay? Social studies has gone by the wayside in some schools, okay? And I know districts that lost a social studies teacher didn't even hire a new one. all right, just kind of did whatever. We're coming. We paid the price for that. Okay, you said we can't tell truth from facts and civics and all that sort of thing, and we the country just paid a price. All right, and now the time has come, and we talk about agency and advocacy and activism. We have got to be advocates and act and use activism, not only in Austin but another A all over the place. Okay, because we want to rejuvenate social studies. Okay, we talk about STEM, but nothing happens in STEM that doesn't affect society. Okay, we don't understand the impact on society. We understand nothing. Okay, civics. Okay, etc. Please speak up for yourselves, social studies teachers. Okay, the time has come, and everybody in education knows that. Okay, so that's all I have to say on that. Was that good, Larry? That was good, Larry Pascoe, wasn't it?
That was beautifully said, as always.
Thanks,
Larry,
pal. Yes.
If I might add a few thoughts there. So one of the lines of inquiry that I examine, I'm a researcher as well, has been the marginalization of social studies as a result of standardization and also standardized assessment. And it's had an adverse effect on the opportunities that students have had to learn. And there's empirical research to back the inequalities in access that students have based on the school that they attend. So their socioeconomic status and also their racial identity are determinants of whether or not they have access to social studies. And that creates huge civic empowerment gaps among many children across the country, and the absence of exposure to social studies as a foundational knowledge of understanding what it means to be a citizen in this country and what it means to be civically engaged. If you don't have the capacity, the skill set to know how to work within the system, to utilize the rights and that you have within this country, you can't take action or engage in agency or advocacy for yourself or even activism without that knowledge base. And so many children across the country do not have access to social studies. I mean, this has been a pattern and a trend, and it's been an exponential and statistically significant decline over the last two decades. And it began in the 1980s, and it still continues today. So what you said about we need to be advocates for our profession and the value, I mean, we're at a Sputnik moment in time right now.
Yep.
I mean, we have the last presidential election raised questions about, you know, what is our responsibility as citizens? It's not to just accept government. It's to question, to challenge, to begin to think about what's happening to us as individuals. And we're affected by politics. And we're affected by decisions the government makes. We have to hold them accountable. That's what our Constitution provides the rights of its citizens to have. But having that foundation knowledge of how to navigate that system and understand our rights and our responsibilities, and we do have responsibilities as citizens, that those are it's critical knowledge that our students aren't getting exposure to. We don't have the opportunity to learn social studies. And you're absolutely right. We are paying a tremendous price for that.
We have paid after that, I would talk to both Kip and Ken, but unfortunately, they've run out to start protest marches to build social studies. Are you guys firing them up? Firing up the teachers? I love it.
Without a doubt.
But it's true, okay? And I'll say this like I always do. Social studies is the essence. Civics is the essence of why public education even began. Because this government of ours, this country is an experiment. It's only 200 and some years old, okay? And the whole idea was to create an educated citizenry that could responsibly elect the people that are right and that they understand how to do that. And that's incumbent upon us as educators to make it happen. We don't have to get into any more philosophy. Everybody gets it, okay? But actually, let me swing this, Kip. Kip, you're going to have a program down there, obviously be part of the program, because by the way, I'm going to get the geography, guys. Bear with me here, okay? But I want to talk about social studies with Kip. Okay, Kip, Texas Council for the Social Studies. And Texas is actually like an epicenter state of our politics. Okay, we had everybody watched Beto O'Rourke versus Senator Cruz. Okay, the state almost went blue. All right, but you have a very strong Republican legislature there. Okay, and of course you're Governor Abbott. Okay, you're in the forefront of unfortunately the guns, the thing in Odessa. All right, and down in El Paso. Okay, you're like the epicenter right now. What's going on in social studies down there in Texas?
Well, it seems.
And
to
by
be
the way, it's all on your shoulders now, Kip. It's all on your shoulders now. But.
No pressure.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way.
No, don't
it?
Worry about it. Geography's much easier. We'll get into that in just a minute. But Kip, cure the world. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Texas has been a leader in a lot of, obviously in a lot of things, and whether that's fortunate or unfortunate. But yes, and I'll echo some of what Tina said too about that advocacy piece. And I think for many years here in the state of Texas, we have not been we as social studies educators, we have not been vocal, and as teachers, we've not been vocal about what our students' needs are. And so I think that the conference theme that we have. Reiterates the fact that we need some of that happening not only here in the state of Texas but around the nation. When I stepped into the position as president, I suggested a couple of changes to our own organization. One of those being that we change one of our committees to an advocacy committee. We haven't had an advocacy committee. We've had a position that. Connected with our state board and worked with the legislature some, but not a committee that really helped focus the whole organization on that. So we're working on building that committee as well as a teacher professional learning committee that will help teachers grow in their own education.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like that background information that teachers miss. Sometimes, particularly in elementary, we can be a place for them to come and get that. So our goal is that that every teacher and has the opportunity to learn, but also find a way we can identify what that master social studies teacher looks like, and then we can promote that. So hopefully in our upcoming general business meeting at the conference, those two committees will be approved and we'll be changing some things and launching ourselves in a little bit of a new direction.
Cool. And will you guys have your own, because you're part of the larger NCSS conference, will you guys have your own presentations there, or will you just have your kind of annual meeting and then glomp onto all the NCSS presentations?
Well, we do have, about, I think, 40 or so specifically that are for Texas folks, 40 sessions that we chose. And then there are also other Texas specific ones. I think on Thursday we kind of have a bonus day extra sessions all day long for folks to enjoy. And so we're hoping to encourage some of our Texas folks to come early, or anybody else who maybe comes in early, they can go ahead and take advantage of that of Thursday with bonus sessions that are happening. But yeah, since we do have we have our own standards, we obviously have to be different than everybody else in the nation. So we have our own standards, and so
there you go.
As part of the part of the conversations with NCSS, we were able to have a few extra things for ourselves as well.
That's cool. That is cool. It's going to be great. And again, it's part of the NCSS conference, November 22nd to 24th in Austin. Easy to get to if you're in Texas. Hello, you just drive there, although Texas is as big as most countries, so that's besides the point. Okay, right? Let's face it. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's swing over to geography, all right, for a few minutes. And Ken and Charlie, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here
Indeed.
We go. Let's see. I think I'll ask Charlie this one. Charlie, literally, when I was in college, this is a true story. When I was in college, my geography professor, we don't have to take geography because I was going to be a social studies teacher. And the first thing he asked on the first day was, you all know that when it's winter up here in Pennsylvania, it's summer down in Australia. Okay? And so your homework for the first night is to figure out what day is Christmas. What day is Christmas in Australia? Charlie, you're Executive Director, National Council for Geographic Education. That's actually what my professor asked. What day, remember the seasons are reversed, what day is Christmas in Australia?
Well, I'd have to say they have their Christmas in the summer then, because it's always December 25th.
That's exactly right, okay? Thank you, Charlie.
Nice job, Charlie. Nice job, Charlie.
Good. Did you know that one, Ken?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That's my Pennsylvania education as well, Larry.
Yes. Professor Hefner, did you understand that one? That's what my actual professor actually asked us.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, December. It just happens to be in the summer. It's still the same day, December 25th. Okay, we'll move on from there. Okay, Charlie, I'm going to ask you this one. Geographic education. Okay, something I rarely touched on, which I think is really important. We've lost track of this. Okay, just geography as being part and parcel of the world. We watch the news every night, Yemen, Iraq, all these places, the Ukraine, et cetera. John, I'm just going to ask a generic question, then I'll get into Ken, or you can pass it to him. What's going on in geographic education? Charlie Regan.
Well, yes. Thank you, Larry. Well,
you're
you know,
welcome.
Let me turn it back to something that you talked about. You've been talking about sort of a passion of yours, which is civics. So something that's going on right now. We have NCGE members around the country that have been working for a while and are still working hard with the U.S. Census studying the apportionment issue. And so the big 2020 elections that are coming up, they're doing demographic analysis, both locally, statewide, and nationally, to redraw congressional district boundaries, to ensure that there's a true representation. And as you know, that's has become an enormous issue, particularly in the upcoming elections around the country. So, and without a geographic understanding, not just what we call a spatial awareness, so where do the lines on the map, but really diving deeper and understanding sort of the demographic information of the people that live there, why they live there, and how they need to be represented. Right. That's really the at the core of our democracy.
It truly is. And so let me follow up on that, Charlie. Has geographic education become more demographic-oriented than it used to be? Or is it still looking at places on a map? Because, I'm really worried about this, that most kids couldn't point to most countries. Okay, I don't know if that's actually true. I'm kind of stereotyping there, but I've heard that most people have trouble with a map.
Well, I'll give you an overview answer, then I'll probably turn it over to Ken because, as we know, where the rubber hits the road is in the classroom, and Ken is in there every day and working with not only students but the teachers around the country. What I would say is while understanding where you're located in relation to other countries and cultures is important. Geography has been and increasingly is so much more than that. And it's not just an understanding of sort of the demographics. You mentioned STEM earlier. The explosion in technology, GIS, Geographic Information Systems, and the platforms that are used around the world in every city and every county every day are all rooted in geography and geographic knowledge. So it's things like national security, disaster response, manufacturing, location analysis, healthcare, even resource management and conservation. They are all supported by or a geographic understanding is fundamental to all of those fields of work.
Well said, my friend. So let me swing down to Ken. Ken, are we doing as president of the association, National Council for Geographic Education? Are those points getting across? Because when people think geography, they think point to the Ukraine, point to Georgia.
Well, Larry, thank you again for having me on. I just finished teaching a ninth grade AP Human Geography class. That's why I was a little bit late. And we were talking about patterns and processes. So is it really about where these countries are? Well, yeah, the students need to know where these countries are, but they need to know what's going on within these countries. So like you said, why do people do what they do? How do they interact with their surroundings? You know, how do they become more geographically aware? So, I mean, we were looking at different levels of the way the data is aggregated on electoral maps and, looking at a map at a state scale versus a county scale versus a local scale, you know, way the data is represented, how does that reflect what's actually going on? What are the patterns that you see, and what are the underlying processes that create these patterns? You know, getting the students to be able to understand, you know, to be able to answer the why question, why, because, and actually be able to drill down. And, you know, if we can teach our students these things, then hopefully they can grow up, they can be more, you know, globally engaged, they can, you know, kind of echoing and feeding off what Tina said and what Kip said, you know, having that informed action, being able to make educated geographic decisions in relation to immigration issues, you know, and, you know, looking at, well, if we redistrict and one state now has more electoral votes than another, how is that going to impact the decisions that voters make in a particular election? So, you know, that's what we're really trying to get our students to do, to understand how the world works. And, you know, with this conference, you know, being able to bring in so many geographic educators, you know, not only for the geographic sessions, but allowing them to embrace the other sessions that are going to be there, is just going to make for a great network of not only social studies education in general, but geographic education specifically for us. And we're very, very excited about this conference.
So let me ask you something, Ken. Who's teaching? I know you are, but who's teaching geography? Is it the standard social studies teacher, okay, who was assigned a geography class, or is it a person who was trained in teaching geography?
Well,
okay, I'm curious what's going on nationally.
Well, it's a great question. Okay. Larry, it's a great question. And as a consultant for the College Board to train advanced placement human geography teachers, it would be great if I could say that a lot of these teachers have geographic background. But the reality of it is it's a lot of social studies teachers who maybe took one course in geography who are now being asked to teach either an advanced placement human geography class or to teach just a regular world geography class. So you have a lot of teachers who are basically learning on the fly, you know. So we're trying to, as an organization, promote the fact that geography education is relevant, you know, that to districts, that it should be an elective in many places and it should be required and not be an elective, you know, that it is such a relevant discipline. And as you said earlier, you know, many aspects of the social studies have been reduced. I mean, they, you know, their emphasis has been reduced, and it's more about STEM education and, you know, and other aspects of math and science, which is unfortunate, because as we all know, geographic education, along with the social studies as a whole, is exceptionally relevant in today's world.
It sure is. And for example, protecting coastlines from rising water.
Larry, you know, all you got to do is look at the impacts of Hurricane Dorian from last week and look at what
you.
It did to the people who live in the Bahamas. You know, it wasn't just that a hurricane came through. Look at the impact on the people who live there.
And
that's
what's going to happen in
the
future, because the storms are getting stronger and all the whole Caribbean is just a target. Okay.
Yeah, sustainability. Sustainability as an overarching theme, globalization as an overarching theme. These are all things that we address in our geography classrooms.
Cool. Charlie, what's going to happen then for geography educators at the conference, specifically geography educators?
Yeah, well, we're excited about a couple of things. As Ken pointed out, and in many states, I'm here in Maryland, and there are no, you know, in K-12 in Maryland, there aren't required, you know, geography teachers, like in my kids' schools. So as you pointed out, most of the geography is coming through social studies, the social studies teachers, or world history, civics, which is, so this by co-locating and partnering with NCSS, we're excited because not only do we have our own strand of conference sessions and workshops, but it is open now to all of the social studies NCSS members that will be attending. In fact, we have many of our sessions are being either presented by or co-presented with social studies teachers. So it'll be geography in the world history classroom, geography and civics together. So by co-locating, while we have our own strand of sessions, our hope is, and I think what we're going to see, is that they will be attended by not only NCGE members, but NTSS members and TCSS members.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Larry Pasca, let me ask you, Larry.
Yeah.
You there? Yeah. Is this the? I hope so. Is this the first time that you have linked up? I know you. You know, wherever you have the conference, you're going to link up with that state's social studies folks, like Texas, Austin. But is this the first time you guys have co-presented this with NCGE?
Yes, I believe so. And in the past, we've co-sponsored conferences, actually international conferences. We've hosted events in Canada and co-sponsored events a couple of decades ago, I believe even in Europe. So the idea of co-sponsoring isn't new, but this is a new partnership. And what's exciting to us about
it is.
It builds upon the work that we started together years ago with the C3 framework. NCGE was one of the partners that developed that framework with us and 14 other organizations. And our affiliates, like Texas Council, as you mentioned, every year, if we're in a state where there's an active affiliated council, we typically partner with them. Oftentimes, their conference becomes ours. But what's unique here is that we have such a strong affiliate network. Texas is a strong council for us in that network. And it just made sense to us that we know that teachers' time is stretched. We know that educators, you know, often have competing professional development opportunities, limited time out of the classroom, limited funds available for professional development.
Yeah.
And so the thinking of bringing us all together, highlighting the importance of informed action, the importance of inquiry in social studies, and the importance of all of the disciplines, it just made sense to us. And we're trying this out this year to see how this might be a way for us to think about professional learning in the future. But we're very proud of these relationships that we've built together. And I think I speak for all of us in saying that we've learned a lot over the past year about how to structure a conference where, you know, when an educator walks through the door, they see just even more opportunities available for them. And they see even more ways to connect, ways to build their practice, ways to make new friends and colleagues in their field. So that's our goal, is simply that when you leave on November 24th, you feel like you were just refreshed with even more resources and possibilities than you would have had ever before.
And, Larry, that was wonderful, Larry. Thank you. And let me ask you a question, Larry. If you had the choice of going to either a Texas presentation, a national geography education presentation, or my wife's presentations at Carolyn Jacobs from PBS Learning Media and WGBH, which one would you go to? You have a choice. Okay.
No pressure.
The mediocre Texas one, the mediocre geography one, and the absolutely superb one put on by Carolyn Jacobs, my wife. Which one would you go to?
The good news is, I'm going to have a chance to possibly go to all of those because we also record select sessions at our conference and we post them. So if you're a registered attendee, you get access to something we call the Live Learning Center. We make certain sessions, their content available to attendees free of charge as a benefit of registering. And then we also make some of those sessions available for sale on our website. So I would say I'm going to attend all three because I'll have a chance to do that.
There you go. You really wormed out of that one, I got to tell you. That was really, really something. And Tina, you're going to meet, I'm sure, if you haven't met her yet, you're going to meet my wife, Carolyn, who's going to be down there with WGBH and PBS Learning Media. She's very close with India. And Tina, how are we doing? Are we training good social studies teachers as we wind down here? That's what we want to do. Are your students going to go to the conference? We got to get them involved.
They are, yes. Actually, we have something unique this year that we've not done before is on Friday, November the 22nd, we have pre-service teacher strand and new career teacher strand.
Nice.
And we are targeting these early career professionals to give them very specific opportunities to learn about things that we know are relevant to new teachers. We're bringing in some amazing scholars who are doing some specific sessions. We also have we have integration of Texas concentrations of sessions within that, given that we might be drawing from pre-service teachers in the state of Texas, and the university system in the state of Texas has been an instrumental partner in planning this. Our lead institution that we've been working with is the University of Texas at Austin, and my colleague, Dr. Cynthia Salinas, is a co-chair for the conference. So we've had a critical lens toward understanding what pre-service teachers would need in a specific type of conference programming and experience. And that's what we've designed with a local committee of educators who work in pre-service education and a district specialist who also work closely with new career teachers of providing the right types of experiences that would really help them kickstart their professional career and make a commitment to the social studies, to geography, and to the interdisciplinary nature in which we think about our field.
You said that, interdisciplinary, it's just so darn important. You guys are getting it all together. And just as your friends, just say hook 'em horns to them, and they'll do anything you want. just do that. Okay? It's no. Am I right? Am I right, Kip? Just say hook 'em horns.
That is right. Yep. There you go.
What can I tell you? Kip, this was great. Thank you so much. Okay. Ken, thank you. Charlie, thank
you. You're very welcome.
I'll be in touch. I want to do some more in geography. You seem to be.
We'd
love
to.
If I do that. Do you like
we would love to do that, Larry. Thank you.
You will. And Tina, good luck, okay, with your presidency.
Thank you, Larry.
You're going to have a good time. And make sure Larry Paska allows you to use the private jet Social Studies 1. He never told India about that. So.
Yeah,
it does
see
come
that
with the
budget.
Presidency. Okay, Social Studies 1.
I'm going to have to do some searching on this.
Yeah, it was being upgraded last year. It was being upgraded.
That's what he
it's
says.
Ready for
it's
service
been,
now.
It's been in the hangar for years, so just keep pushing them on that, Tina. There's no sense using commercial aircraft when you have this available to you. All right, so no problem. Larry, thanks a million, buddy. I will be in touch shortly. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Be good, guys. And Tina, thank you also very much. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Bye. Okay. The upcoming Social Studies Conference, please, administrators, school board members, whoever, go. Okay, go. Social Studies is so important, more important than ever. Combining with Texas and the National Council for Geographic Education, NCSS, check it out at socialstudies.org is the website, November 22nd to the 24th, 2019. You can also go meet my wife, Carolyn. All right, we're going to archive education-talkradio.org, tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Please check out our magazine, ace-ed.org, accessibility, compliance, and equity. Thanks for listening.